Colossians chapter 3. This morning, we told you about Christ and his Father's business. Tonight, I want to tell you about other people's business. Ephesians 6, to start, and then some portions from the Old Testament. Make it Colossians. Colossians 3, instead of reading both, there is a reference in Ephesians 6, first of all, but let's just read one reference in Colossians chapter 3, at verse 22. Servants, obey in all things them that are your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatsoever you do, work heartily as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord you shall receive the recompense of the inheritance. You serve the Lord Christ. Now, Genesis 39. I'm giving you abbreviated passages. We'll fill in what's left out as we go along, God permitting. Joseph has been sold as a slave into Egypt. He has been bought by Potiphar. And it says in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found favor in his sight, and he ministered unto him. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that was with him, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was comely and well favored. Now, look at Daniel chapter 6. Verse 3. Then this Daniel was distinguished above the presidents and the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find occasion against Daniel as touching the kingdom, but they could find no occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. That's all we'll read for now. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, let us know that we are surprised to find in the Word of God things that are not only religious, but are secular, telling us our responsibilities not only to you, but also to our fellow man. We pray, our God, that we shall understand the significance of this. And from the portions that we've read, we shall be instructed. Our God, thou hast set before us good examples and bad examples. We pray that we shall be able to distinguish
between the two. Let us understand what is pleasing to you, our Father, and then let us, as your Son did, seek to please thee in every way. We thank you for the blessings of this day, and now we look to thee for a blessing again this night. Feed thy lambs, feed thy sheep. Our Father, we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. Glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If I asked you in which we should be more faithful, our service to God or to man, what would your answer be? You say, well, it must be toward God. That would be a good answer. It seems logical, except for this. I read to you in Colossians, it says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord Christ. So if you're serving God, evidently it is for God. But if you're doing secular work, and you're to do that secular work as unto the Lord Christ, now, which is more important? To which should you be more faithful? You say, neither. We should be faithful toward both. And that is the beauty of the life of the Lord Jesus. And it is an ethic that God would seek to put into the hearts of those that profess the name of Christ. Because it says concerning some Christians, because of their behavior, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And because of the sinful lives that some Christians live, and because of the lack of proper godly service to our fellow man, for which they pay us, because of that, the name of God is blasphemed. I wish I could put it from my mind, but I can remember telling of a man who came to the chapel years ago. And when I mentioned his name, some for whom he worked said, that drunkard, he goes to your church. And it broke my heart because the man had tried and he would stay sober for 6 or 9 months at a time, but then he would go and get drunk again and then seek restoration. But all of those for whom he worked did not look at him when he was sober, but the time when he would become drunk. So what happens is this, that the work that we are to do is to be as faithful and as diligent toward man as it is toward God. And that is why I turned to the Old Testament to get you examples, and I had some 6, but 2, and I will add one more, because they're all similar in this respect. In Genesis 39, we have Joseph. In Daniel 6, we have Daniel. And then in 1 Samuel, we have David before he became king. Now, how are they all similar? Each one of these men worked for a king. Eventually, who was the representative of Pharaoh, king of Egypt? You say Joseph. And for whom was it that David played the harp and drove away that evil spirit? You say, why? For King Saul. And concerning the many kings in the life of Daniel, for whom was it that he served so faithfully? You say, why? Nebuchadnezzar. So here are men that were servants to kings, and there was not one bad example among them. But I read to you in Colossians chapter 3 concerning a different class, because I think most of us would fall into that category. I have never worked for a king. I've worked for children of the king, but I've never worked for a human king, an earthly king. But what it says in Colossians is this, that whenever we do work for a man, we are to work for that man as if it were the Lord Christ, and in this respect, we have slaves working for their masters. How different a thing this is. Yes, Daniel was a slave. He was one of the captivity. Joseph was a slave. Isn't that a remarkable thing? He was sold into slavery by his brethren. But David, though he spoke of himself humbly, he said, I am the son of thy servant, Jesse, the Bethlehemite. So, you have those that were from lowly stations of life in one respect, and yet they were put in a position where they served kings. The lowest were servant of the highest. And in every respect, just as in Hebrews 11, we have before us a list of those who were men and women of faith. So in the portions I've given you, we have men who also were men of faithfulness, not in the great exploits that we read there, but in simple exploits, simple service that they rendered to those that were in high position. So what we do is this. I've been so upset when I see before in the newspaper the advertisement of those singing groups whom our young people idolize, and they look abominable, and the words that they use are abominable, and their concepts are abominable, and yet our young people love them, and they embrace them, and they go wild when they ever come into their presence. And even the best of them, you look at them and the way that they dress, it does not convey the Lord Jesus Christ. Even those that are good, when they're entertaining, I've never been able to entertain people for this reason. I remember in studying, it says how you are to prepare a message and how you are to deliver that message so that it would be effective. And I know a man, and I remember, I'll tell you now, I'll tell on him since he's with the Lord in glory. Welcome Detweiler was saying to me concerning my preaching once. He said, do you know how your preaching could be more effective? He said, if when you came to a certain point, you would lower your voice and speak with deep emotion, I think that you could touch the people more strongly. That would be the last thing I would ever do in my life. For that reason, I would change it completely. If I have to do this, and another man said, now, will you proclaim this truth? Put out your hand that way and give a profile. Can you imagine certain people doing such things? I cannot conceive of it. And that is why I never wanted to entertain people. I'd rather be what I am, bad, than for you to think I was good because of some artifice, some timber of the voice that I use to impress you. And yet that is what happens all the time. They work upon the emotions of your soul rather than your spirit, and they overcome you emotionally and in a carnal way. But it was not so with David, it was not so with Daniel, and it was not so with Joseph. They were all men of God, and they served God from the heart. So understand the world that you're in and what the world wants, and let us refuse to give the world what it wants. But let us speak the truth in love. Let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Yes, I can do that. I can look upon the Lord Jesus and see how he effectively spoke the word of God. And if that, the truth, sincerity, and the power of the Holy Spirit is not successful, then I prefer to fail rather than to apparently succeed when you do something of the flesh to impress men. I want to tell you, at least, concerning bad examples, because I shan't cover everything here, but I want to tell you about bad examples And in this instance, one of them was a woman, and concerning the other, we shall wait. But it says this in the Song of Solomon. The confession is this: they made me keeper of the vineyards. He said, but my own vineyard have I not kept. That's a confession. Your responsibility is to care for the vineyard. But instead of caring for the vineyard, she cared for something else. And there is another example. It was a story that was made up to destroy King Ahab, and I will tell it to you now. King Ahab went out and by the grace of God had a mighty victory over Ben-Hadad, his enemy. He overcame him once, and then he overcame him again, and he had him captive, and he let Ben-Hadad go. And one of the sons of the prophets, and I have to laugh when I read this, one of the sons of the prophets came to another of his fellow prophets, and he said to him, smite me. And the man said, I'm not going to smite you. And so he said, well, when you go out, a lion is going to come upon you and destroy you. And so he went to another one and he said, smite me. And the man smote him and wounded him according to his instruction. And so if you ever come to me and say, God has told me to tell you to smite me, I will beat you to a pulp because I do not want any lion coming after me destroying me. So you be sure when you tell me what to do to you that you have that message from God. But what happened was this. This prophet then wounded, he disguised himself, and he went and he waited until the king went by. And at that time, they appealed to the king for judgment. You remember how the two harlots went and asked Solomon whose child the baby was? You remember that. Well, in this instance, here is this man, and he comes to King Ahab, and he says, O king, he said, I have a question for you. He said, I was on the battlefield, and a man had taken captive a prisoner, and he brought that prisoner to me, and he said, your life, if that prisoner escapes from you, or you will pay me a talent of silver. And listen to what he said. He said, and while thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. You see the similarity between that man and that woman? They made me keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard I have not kept. They made me keeper of a prisoner, but that prisoner escaped. And that is what happens to some of the children of God. God gives us a responsibility. It may be simply taking care of a vineyard. It may be taking care of a prisoner. It makes no difference what it is. But if they make you keeper of the vineyards, keep the vineyards. And if they tell you to keep safe a prisoner, then keep safe that prisoner, or else you will be a bad example. But what happened was this. Just as Nathan spoke to David in this way and overcame David and his hardness of heart, so in this instance, this son of the prophets spoke to Ahab and overcame him. And when he spoke that, and the king said, this is my judgment. He said, you condemned yourself. You've already said what had to happen. If you let him go, you're alive, or else you owe that man a talent of silver. You've spoken your own judgment. And then the prophet tore off his disguise, and he said, you are the one that has done this thing. He said, I sent you forth to destroy Ben-Hadad, the children of Israel, and you had him in your hand, and you did not destroy him, but you let him go. And he said, because of that, he will come and he will destroy women and children. He said, you are responsible for that. Your wives, your children, you shall suffer because of your failure. Now, I'm thinking this, that if many of us simply had this place before us, do as unto the Lord the simple responsibilities laid upon you, I do not think it would make much impression on you. Why? Because I've seen the service of the people of God when they've been given simple responsibilities. Some of them thank God. Others, I look at them and I see that they make a distinction between what they're supposed to do before God and man. But I say this, that if you knew that it was going to cost you $10,000 if you failed in this respect, I think that you would more diligently try to do that which God had told you to do. And if it were going to mean your life, you would do it as well. But the only thing is, well, it's for the Lord and it's not important. Like this, how is it? And I've seen it again and again. I've seen Christians that they say, I'm sick, I cannot come to the meeting. But miraculously, Monday morning, they get to work because if they do not go to work, they're not going to bring home a paycheck. Now, how is it that it's miraculous that to get to work, they can go if they're sick, but if it's to come to a meeting, they cannot come to that meeting? What is the distinction? Because the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And so it's not just missing a meeting. It is forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But we look at it and we set it aside as if it were something of insignificance. But in that respect, when you come and attend a meeting, inasmuch as this is God's business, because God is seeking worshipers and God is seeking those that are to be obedient fully to the commands, the Savior said, go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Well, if he wants all things taught, he wants all things obeyed. But what happens is this. God has given us certain positions, and then we fail in those positions. And what was said concerning that unrighteous steward, what is this I hear about your stewardship? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. And that is the terrible thing that God has to speak concerning some of us. If you want to know why, and I'm 74 years old now, I am still preaching, it is because of responsibility that God has given me, as he gave Chananiah. This is what God says in Matthew 24. Who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath set over his household to give them their food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, he will set him over all that he hath. Now, has our Lord come yet? You say no. But that verse says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And so evidently the servants of the Lord are to keep on until their Lord comes. And so the Lord's servants do not retire, they expire. And this is what God would have us to understand. And a simple verse of scripture like that keeps you going on. So, here are two bad examples, as I have given you good examples. While I was busy here and there, notice, it's not sloth that caused the man to allow that prison to escape, but he was busy here and there. Other things were occupying his mind, and the prisoner escaped. And so you and I, we are so busy in other things that the things of God, the will of God, escapes us. And what is said concerning the woman's own confession, they made me keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Why? Because we are busy here, and we are busy there, and there is no time left for the Lord. So keep that in mind. And I'm wondering this, if I attended remembering my Savior, and I had just enough strength to do that, and miss work the next day, and I would not get paid, or if I could miss remembering the Lord, but get enough strength to go to work the next day and get paid, which would I choose? And the answer that you give shows whether you consider serving man or God more important. Let us take these things the heart, but concerning Joseph, and I thank God for this testimony, how is it that this Joseph, who is to be a prince of the nation of Israel, how is it that he's brought so low, and how can he keep such a spirit of cheerfulness and faithfulness and devotedness to God concerning the circumstances that surrounded the lot that fell his way? Here is what I mean. Think now. In each one of these excellent examples, who served kings to the best of their ability because of their faithful service, instead of going up, they were pulled down. Why is it that Joseph, who was a servant to Potiphar and was over all his house, is next found not only a slave, but cast into prison? Why? Because of his devotion and faithfulness to God and his master. I would have thought this. The flesh would say, why, here is my master's wife, and she is making overtures toward me. Now, if I can have a collusion, then I will get even higher. Think of how high in life I can go. But that thought never entered Joseph's mind. He understood how much he owed to his master, and he understood the trust that his master had put in him. He said, my master has no more authority in this house than I do, except for you. You are his wife. Understand that. You have no claims upon another man's wife. Not if you divorce yours and marry another. You have no claims upon another man's wife. And Joseph understood his position. He said, I have authority over all this house. And my master trusts me so much that it's like this. He does not know anything that is going on except the bread that he eats. That would be a wonderful man to have work for you. Why? Because before, you had been keeping the books, you had been planning the sowing of the crops, you've been arranging all of these things, and you've barely gotten by. And then a slave comes in, and he starts working for you, and everything he does prospers, and you see that he's trustworthy, and so finally you say to him, take over everything that I have, and then you can sit back and worry about nothing. That would be a delightful servant to find. And Joseph was such a servant. And I'm thinking of this. In the case of Joseph's faithfulness, did he get him a reward or a demotion? You say it caused him to be cast into prison. Yes, that was the demotion that it got him. Let me ask you this. When Daniel was faithful to the kings of Babylon, did he get him a promotion or a demotion? You say, well, he had been so faithful, the king was going to make him above all of those satraps that were his associates. He said, yes, that's true. But the satrap said, we're going to catch Daniel in some error that he makes, in some slope, in some disrespect for his master. And when we do, we will report it. And then he will not be exalted, but we shall be exalted. And they tried and tried and tried, but could find absolutely nothing. That is the testimony that I would like to have. And finally, they understand this. And this is the second testimony to Daniel. They said, we will never find anything he does wrong. Can people say that concerning you, the place that you work? Do they know that your work is not slipshod, but it's faithful, and that your master has confidence in you, and he's going to promote you, and you should be promoted? Or is it just the opposite? And this is the second testimony toward Daniel. They said, the only way we can ever catch him is in his religion, his devotion to his God. How delightful. Do you realize that what happened of old is just happening together again, together with Ashcroft, the way it was with Daniel? I was so ashamed when I see those that are up in Congress, the way that they are treating this man. Do you know why they do not want him to be attorney general? Because he does not want children pulled from the womb and slain. That's why. Because he does not want homosexuality to be promulgated over the land. He believes in the sanctity of life and the sanctity of morality. And because of that, they are attacking this man. It's a terrible thing. And they did all in their power to keep him from being confirmed. But somehow, he was confirmed. And so let's thank God for that. And these men did everything in their power to destroy Daniel. And almost they did. But Daniel went successfully through the lion's den. And he came out and he was exalted to the highest position above all these satraps that were insufficient and cunning, deceiving servants of the king. And I want you to think of yourself now. I want you to think if you are working with a fellow workman and he does better work than you, more faithful work than you, and he's going to get a promotion and you're going to stay in the place that you are because you are ordinary and you're not devoted and you're not diligent in your work. Would you do anything in your power to pull him down that you might get a promotion? Then God have mercy on us. If this man deserves a promotion and wants that promotion, let that man do it. And it may be that God shall look upon you in the lowly place that you have taken, and God will give you a promotion. When he is promoted, then maybe you will be put in his place. But you see the envy, the jealousy. Now, I told you about Joseph and his faithfulness, and what did it cost him? He had to go to prison. I told you about Daniel and his faithfulness, and what did it cost him? So he was cast in the den of lions. Yes. And concerning David, what did it cost him? Why, it almost cost David his life. Because he was faithful to King Saul, but his faithfulness was seen by the people of God, and they saw the worth of David, and the mistake that they made was this. They meant it for David's good, but it was to his destruction. Saul hath slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And Saul eyed him from that day forward and said, what can he have more than my throne? And when David was near, he took that spear in his hand, and he cast it at David, and he would have destroyed him. Now, this is the lesson I want you to understand, that your faithfulness will not already automatically be rewarded by God, and God will promote you. It may be that you will turn out to be a David who was chased as a partridge upon the hill. It may be that you will cast into prison because you are lied against, as Joseph was, and it may be because you take a stand for the truths of your religion, it may be that you will not get that promotion, but somehow they will find a fault in you because you believe in the sanctity of life, and they will pull you down rather than lift you up. Then may I stay down, and may I be esteemed as nothing by men, but may I be esteemed much in the sight of God. These are the things the Lord would have us to see. And that is why in the New Testament it says this, you do your work not as unto men, but unto God. You serve the Lord Christ. And I remember our dear old brother Peter Pell. He said that before he was saved, or early in his life, he used to be a paper hanger. And when people he didn't like wanted their house papered, he would come, and if they troubled him, he would somehow get the glue on them when he was working in the room. He would get that wallpaper on them. Oh, excuse me, this was an accident. He said, until he trusted Christ as Savior, and he came across that verse, you serve the Lord Christ. And he said, I can't do this to Christ. And so then he became a good paper hanger, and then he got promoted to be a preacher of the word of God, and you know the end. And you know the end of the matter with Joseph, because of his faithfulness. Prison, but then next to the Pharaoh of Egypt. That was his position. And Daniel, first the lion's den, but then lifted from the lion's den, and given the highest place in the land next to the ruler. And in like manner, David as well. Chased as a partridge upon the hill, but then eventually Saul was taken away, and David was proclaimed king of Judah at first, and then king of all Israel. So it's a faithful thing. Understand that some eventually in this life receive a reward. You serve the Lord Christ, and you will receive a reward from the Lord. But sometimes rewards only come in the next life. And so let's remember that payday is someday. That was a famous message by a Baptist preacher named Lee. Payday, someday. And he spoke of all the things that were getting paid today and some that were not getting paid for their faithfulness to God. And so his message was payday, someday. So, now, which is more important and whom should we serve more diligently? God or man? You say, we must serve them both the same. Yes, serve them, not obey them. We must obey God rather than man. But when we are doing service, do it as unto the Lord Christ and not unto man. Now that's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the lessons that you teach us. Our God, we would like to think of spiritual things and heavenly things and exalted things. And you tell us about things of not much importance. Things like a slave working hard in the field, like a prisoner taking care of other prisoners. You tell us things, Father, that seem to be of little importance, but they are of great importance to you. And we thank you for that. And so just as the Lord Jesus, as he prepared himself for all those years, and then he went forth and successfully carried out the will of God for his life, so help us, our God, because thou dost know that some of us will never be kings. We will simply be workers working for other men, and we'll never receive great rewards until that day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Our Father, we're looking forward to that day when, as your Son said to those servants, that servant that received the talents and faithfully use those talents. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a little. Be thou faithful over many things. We pray, our God, that that is what we shall hear in the coming day. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let us be faithful to you, and let us be faithful in our ordinary duties of life to our fellow man. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Meeting is over.